One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. Andy here, and something a little bit different for you. This is the first 10 minutes of my interview with James Fox discussing his latest documentary, the much anticipated The Programme. Now, not something I plan on doing for every interview, and it's not really something I've done before. A few reasons for it though. One, it's coming up to Christmas. I want to give you a little bit of a holiday treat if you listen on the free feeds. But also, I want to encourage folks to pre-order James's latest documentary. Now, this first 10 minutes talks about the journey just to make The Programme, because if you didn't know, and you'll hear from James, he got absolutely shafted, and there's no other way to put it, out of almost any money from The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. And James goes into detail about what happened with the previous company, why it was like what it was like, and people may have heard the stories online, but James goes into that in detail. So that's the opening kind of 10 minutes, and I'm going to give you that. If you decide, you know what, I want to hear the full thing, there are a couple of ways you can do that right now. And a shameless plug, there is an offer right now. If you check the description to this podcast, you'll see I'm giving away Patreon memberships for the month of December, basically. There's a limited number of them, but I put some more on because so many folks were asking. It's a difficult time of year, and maybe some of you have thought about supporting the podcast before, but never quite took the plunge. So now you can jump in, no commitment needed. You can listen to the full James Fox interview, and you can listen to all the other stuff with no ads, early access, ad-free, bonus content, and give the podcast premium version a try over on Patreon. It's the $3 tier that you get access to for absolutely nothing. So click on the link, listen to the full interview, and then you don't have to keep it on if you choose not to. But any support would be wonderful, of course. And if you go onto Apple, there's still a two-week free trial if you listen to the audio version of the podcast on Apple. Click on there, two-week free trial, sign up. Again, no commitment necessary, but any continuing support after the free trial ends is absolutely welcome. So thank you very, very much. Of course, you can still sign up to watch the videos early on YouTube, Spotify, all that kind of stuff as well. But anyway, here's the first 10 minutes, folks, of my latest interview with James Fox discussing his wonderful documentary, The Programme, which comes out in a couple of days' time, Monday the 16th of December, on streaming platforms. So here you go, folks. Enjoy.
This is James Fox, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and I am joined today by a filmmaker who has written, directed, produced, edited, as I've just been being told, some of the best UFO documentaries you will find, including The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. Also, his latest much-anticipated The Programme. Welcome back to the podcast, James Fox. James, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Very good to have you on. Finally, this seems like a long time coming, James. And does it feel like that for you?
It's been a rough year and a half. Very intense. Yeah, because it wasn't just like making the film. There were other things going on behind the scenes that I wasn't really at liberty to talk about that added to the intensity of production.
Yeah, and it's a huge pod today, and I'm going to get stuck into a lot of conversation with you. But before we talk about The Programme, take us through that journey, because as part of that, are you talking about the issues you had with the previous documentaries, and did that coincide with trying to make and release this?
Oh, God, yes. So there were two really, like, making a documentary in itself, just if everything goes perfectly, it's very, very challenging, you know? You want to do better than you've done in the past. I wasn't necessarily trying to compete with the phenomenon, because the phenomenon I spent 8 years making, and that covered a lot of history and, you know, from the 40s right up to kind of somewhat modern day, as to, you know, back in 2020. But I was acutely aware of the fact that there are certain expectations. If it's going to have my name on it, I want it to be a really high-end production. And so that requires a level of focus and dedication that just very, very intense. Particularly on the last, like, for some reason, the last push, the last 15, 20%, it seems like it gets harder. As you push the film across the finishing line, it becomes exponentially difficult just to get it absolutely done, right? Because there's just so many little minute details that one can easily overlook that make the difference between a successful film and a not successful film. And so that's very intense. But paralleling all this, I had a massive disaster occur with my distributor. My distributor was purchased by, unbeknownst to me at the time, by a much larger company. And, you know, regardless of how well one has done in the past, generally speaking, when you're done making a documentary, you borrowed money from just about everybody. You're always in the hole. I mean, it's just the way it is. I put some of my personal money into it. I try not to do that, but it happens inevitably. So during the, as I was launching, making the program, my distributor was purchased by a bigger distributor, and all my films were either directly or indirectly distributed through this production, through this distribution company, and they stopped paying me. So suddenly I have all my income completely dry up, particularly at a time when I'd just gone on Joe Rogan. I hadn't even paid back all the money that I'd made for Moment of Contact. And so, you know, I'm being told, oh, you know, sit tight. It's under new ownership, and the transition process from the accounting department, it's just going to take a couple little hiccups here. It's going to take a little moment. But in the back of my mind, I had a really bad feeling. Mm. You know, that little voice, it really didn't feel good. And I'm watching, you know, these sales reports come in. I'm seeing my films at the top of the charts, and I'm broke. And I'm not getting money every month. And it was like month after month after month after month. And then I filed a lawsuit. I mean, it felt like somebody was trying to extinguish my career. It was absolutely terrible. And I couldn't talk about it publicly, because if I did, it would be, slander, or, there's a legal terminology basically that they could come after me. And apparently somebody did speak out with specifics, and, they had a slapped with a multi-million-dollar lawsuit, and there's still defamation, I think it is. So I couldn't talk about it. So I was like, you know, my lawyer, we were filing a lawsuit out of New York, and he's like, don't talk about it publicly. You know, they'll come after you. You know, these guys have got a bank of lawyers, some huge company. And so I'm dealing with that. And I remember every night I was taking like a sip of whiskey just to fall asleep, because I couldn't believe this was happening. I couldn't believe that this could happen. Like, I'm the most independent filmmaker. The one kink in the armor was the fact that I had a distribution company, but I made the movie myself. They're just distributing it to the various platforms, right? And they just take a small cut of the sales. Well, they're taking everything. And it wasn't just 1 month. It was month after month after month after month after month. It's like a nightmare. It's like a slow motion train wreck. It's happening. And it's happening with all my films. All my income was dried up. And I would go to sleep with whiskey at night, trying to work as much as I could during the day. And then the morning I would wake up, and I'd slowly thinking to myself, oh my God, I remember a number of times where I was like, oh God, I had a horrible dream last night. I was dreaming that I was getting ripped off and all this terrible stuff was, oh my God, it's not a nightmare. This is really happening. And this was really going on. And in paralleling that, I hadn't really talked about this with anybody, I was trying to get interviews with, sitting members of Congress. You know, the first congressional hearings that happened after 50 years that Andre Carson had put on. And they were like, oh, Mr. Fox, well, you did the phenomenon? I thought so-and-so did the phenomenon. I was like, no, I did the phenomenon. really? Are you sure about that? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure about that. So I'm sending these staff members of Congress photographs of me in production for the phenomenon in China, in Africa, in Australia, me with Senator Reid to prove the fact that I was. And then all these intel guys, the same individual was telling them not to meet with me. Thank God for Christopher Mellon was on the Hill setting the record straight and telling these intel folks, James made the phenomenon. He's the guy. You should be meeting with him. So I was, I couldn't believe it. I was like, that, so they cut off all my money and then someone's taking responsibility claiming that they did on the Hill the phenomenon. I'm having to prove that, no, I'm the one that did it. And then I'm having to get these intel folks that I'm trying to get interviews with. It was just like, I couldn't believe it, man. I just felt like somebody was trying to extinguish my entire career. And I had a really good friend of mine, this guy, Jeff Melville. And thank God, like he's such a good guy. And I borrowed money from him just so I could keep going with everything. He trusted me. He knew, you know, I was going to get it. So I remember taking like all this, and I don't want to hear, I'm not here to air my grievances. I just like, I felt like I could only talk about a little bit of it about the time for people to understand like what really went on behind the scenes during the making of this film. So I took like all my frustration and anger and I said, I'm going to focus this and I'm going to try and create the best possible film documentary I can possibly create. And the end result, I was very happy with it. So anyway, that's a sort of snapshot scene behind the scenes that took place. And this is going to be the most independent release in history that I've ever done. I don't have a distributor. I've had to raise $250,000 borrowed money at the end of it. So the film's done. Okay.
Yeah.
Now the film is done. Just to put it out, you got to spend money. You got to hire, you know, a company for, you know, for promotions and social media and run ad space. I mean, anybody who wants to have a remotely successful release, you have to spend money on your film to get it out there. Right.
Yeah.
So this is all completely 100% independent, and I'm very proud of that. So I'm hoping that you know, we've eliminated any potential kinks in the armor for another scenario that took place the last year and a half.
I felt that was very important, and for months while I've been talking to you online or whatever it's been, I know you've had those issues. They've been public. I don't know anything secretive, but I also know how much work you put into making these. And I wanted to start this interview with that because that's a hell of a lot to undertake and have going on. And I remember when I saw folks, even when you'd put online that you needed that $250,000, some folks like, wow, that's so much money. But like you say, sure, you could pop this on YouTube and let it run and get some ad money in. But when people make a Marvel movie with a $200 million budget, they spend the same amount at least on marketing and advertising. A lot of folks don't know that, just to get out there to try and recoup some of that money. So that's all very much appreciated. And I think folks, I'll say it now and at the end, go and get your copy of The Program, is where James has put his money, his life and soul into this. It's almost bankrupted you, like you say, beforehand. So go and pre-order, go and get your copy now. The program's wonderful. The links are in the description as well. And we're going to talk about the actual content now, James, because I've really enjoyed it. I'm very fortunate to get a screener for things like this to interview you in advance. I pre-ordered my copy on Apple TV as well. So folks, I've done my bit. I'm not freeloading off the back of all of you who listen to this and give me these opportunities. But let's get into it then. So the program goes behind the congressional hearings to leave skeptics astounded by new assertions from a growing chorus of high-level insiders who insist there is definitive proof we are not alone. So first off, James, do you see this as a follow-on to the phenomenon?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Standalone piece.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.